BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Today has been called National Day of Prayer. The concept of setting aside time to pray for the nation and its leaders originated with America's founding fathers. It was the First Continental Congress, which initially declared a National Day of Prayer in 1775, establishing a long-standing tradition. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed a proclamation which designated April 30th of that year as a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. The proclamation began, "Whereas the Senate of the United States devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and nations, has by a resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation." The proclamation continued, "And I do hereby request that all the people to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite at their several places of public worship and their respective homes in keeping the day holy to the Lord and devoted to the humble discharge of the religious duties proper to that solemn occasion." Such national observances began more formal and regular on April 17, 1952, when Congress unanimously passed a joint resolution signed by President Harry Truman establishing the annual National Day of Prayer by federal law. Public Law 82-324 declared that a National Day of Prayer would be held on a suitable day each year other than a Sunday. But it was in 1988 the United States and House of Representatives amended that 1952 law by passing Public Law 100-307 to provide for setting aside the first Thursday in May as the day on which the National Day of Prayer is celebrated. That act was signed into law by President Ronald Reagan. We're talking about prayer here today on Crosstalk, and folks, we can make all the calls to Washington we wish to, but unless we take out Jeremiah 33:3 and make that call, it's of no avail. For God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." There was a paper called Perspective many, many years ago, and inside they had this little story. Early in the school prayer debate, a senator was asked to speak at the annual men's banquet in a local church. During dinner, the subject of school prayer precipitated heated discussion. When the senator was introduced, he says, "Before I speak, I would like to ask two questions. First, how many of you believe that we should have prayer in the schools?" Well, as far as the senator could tell, every man raised his hand. Second question, how many of you pray each day with your children at home? Very few hands went up. What is it with us when we demand and expect and conduct, you know, from secular institutions, which when we fail to maintain it in the church, when we fail to maintain it in our home? Prayer is in schools daily, rarely, if ever, but in the home, you know, absolutely, we're not doing it in our homes. Why not? For that matter, how is the midweek service meeting, the prayer meeting, doing at your church? The story is told of a minister who went to his usual prayer meeting and found nobody present. He began tolling the church bell. Presently, a dozen people came running to ask who was dead. "The church," replied the minister, as he continued to toll the bell. I found it interesting that in another publication some years back called the Free Will Echo, there was this obituary. "We note in the Free Will Echo that Mrs. Prayer Meeting is dead. In the belief that friends of the deceased might be interested, we reprint the death notice. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revival, she was a strong, healthy child, fed largely on testimony and Bible study, soon growing into worldwide prominence. She was one of the most influential members of the church family. For the past several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffness of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity, and weakness of purpose and willpower. At the last, she was a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the strange absence of her loved ones, how busy in the marts of trade and in places of worldly amusements. Experts, including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner, disagreed as to the cause of her fatal illness. They administered large doses of organization socials, contests, and drives, but to no avail. A postmortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food coupled with the lack of faith, heartfelt religion, and general support were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday nights, except the third Wednesday of each month when the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society serves refreshments to the men's handball team. The question that was asked by the newspaper, the dying paper that carried this, said, do you attend prayer meeting regularly? You know, we call upon our nation to pray, but are we doing it in our homes? Are we doing it in our churches? Some years ago, 2014, the Washington Post carried an article. It's entitled, 10 Maps That Show How Much Time Americans Spend Grooming, Eating, Thinking, and Praying. Friends, it's remarkable when you go through this, and they listed actually state by state how on the average, the people in that state, how much time they spend sleeping, how much time is spent in personal grooming, how much time in housework, working, commuting, religious activities, leisure, thinking and relaxing, and watching television. And for sleep, for the most part, there were 8+ hours per day on average that people were enjoying their sleep. Watching television ranged from near 2 to 4 hours per day. Thinking and relaxing, there's about a half hour on average taking place there. Oh, the commuting varied based upon where one lived, but it was not uncommon to see it between 30 and 60 minutes. Housework, about a half hour a day. Working, coming up to the late 7 or 8 hours a day. But when it came to religious activities on a daily basis, it was down to minutes, just minutes. I'm looking at the state of Rhode Island, the average person spending 2 minutes a day on religious activities. 2 minutes a day. State of Wisconsin, 5 minutes per day on religious activities. Oh, there were some states that went as high as 15 or 16 minutes on average per day. And friends, we talk about the challenges and the issues that our nation is facing today. Do we really think that 2 minutes a day, we pat ourselves on the back and say, well done? Are we praying for America? Are we praying for this nation? Are we praying for our families? Are we praying for our churches? I hope this underscores the importance of our being engaged in prayer, not just calling upon our schools to be doing it, not calling it upon our nation's leaders. So I'm thankful to hear that. And in our next segment, we're going to be hearing what happened in the Rose Garden at the White House today. We'll be hearing some excerpts from the Vice President and also from President Trump. But are we praying? Are we praying for our families? Are we praying for our nation? I'd like to share with you several ways that we can do that. But friends, it takes a commitment on your part in doing just that. I find it interesting. Hudson Taylor had some powerful quotes on the matter of prayer. He said, Do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards. You'd say how silly that would be, to have your concert first and then tune your instruments. He said, begin the day with the Word of God in prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him. He went on to say that the power of prayer has never been tried to its full capacity in any church. If you want to see mighty wonders of divine grace and power wrought in the place of weakness, failure and disappointment, let the whole church answer God's standing challenge, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hudson Taylor also said, the branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine, and at the right time and in the right way is the right fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord Jesus. How can we expect our governments to be praying and prayers at city council meetings and prayers in schools when we don't do it in our homes, and when we don't do it in our churches? Do you spend time in prayer and more than just mealtime? I mean, 4 years ago, that average in Rhode Island was 2 minutes a day on religious activities. Some places were going as high as 16 minutes a day for all religious activities. Charles Stanley came forth with 10 ways to be praying for those influential men in government who make key decisions. I'd like to run through these 10 before our first break happens. First of all, he says, pray that they will realize. This is in regard to our government leaders. And Scripture says to remember and to be praying for those in authority over us. He says, pray that they will realize their personal sinfulness and their daily need for cleansing of their sin by Jesus Christ. Number two, pray that they would recognize their personal inadequacies for fulfilling their task and that they would depend upon God for knowledge, wisdom, and courage to do what is right. Thirdly, he says, pray that they would reject all counsel that violates spiritual principles, trusting God to prove them right. Pray that they would resist those who pressure them to violate their conscience. Pray that they would reverse the trends of socialism and humanism in this nation, both of which deify man rather than God. Number six, pray that they would be ready to sacrifice their personal ambitions and political careers for the sake of this nation, if yielding them would be in the best interest of their country. Number seven, pray that they would rely upon prayer and the Word of God as a source of their daily strength, wisdom, and courage. Number eight, pray that they would restore dignity, honor, trustworthiness, and righteousness to the office they hold. Number nine, pray that they would remember to be good examples in their conduct to the fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters of this nation. And number 10, pray that they would be reminded daily that they are accountable to Almighty God for the decisions they make. That was written some years ago by Dr. Charles Stanley, how to pray for those influential men in government who make key decisions. Are you praying? Are you taking time to pray? Adrian Rogers has said, when there is no hope on the horizontal level, there is always hope on the vertical level. You know what he's saying there, don't you? He said, it's not the length of your prayers, but the depth that counts. He also says this, God gave you his unlisted phone number and said, call me anytime. Are you doing it? Are you spending time daily in prayer, meaningful time in prayer? We call upon our nation to pray. We call upon our schools. You need to have prayer back in the schools. Are we doing it in our homes? Are we doing it in our churches? This program today is to challenge you to think of, to have self-inspection in this regard. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we are going to go immediately to the Rose Garden of the White House in a ceremony that happened this morning for National Day of Prayer. It is going to take the full length of that next segment, so we hope you'll listen. We're going to be hearing first from Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, followed by President Donald Trump. Time does not permit us to air everything that was said today, but you're going to be hearing about 13 minutes of excerpts from National Day of Prayer event at the White House, something that's been absent during the previous administration. It's time to pray, folks. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, anything new found in outer space recently?
Chris, there's always something new. Recently, the Hubble telescope located several giant gaseous planets orbiting around burned-out stars. Now, gaseous planets are not strange. Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn, they're all large and gaseous, so that's not a problem. What is a problem is that the Big Bang Theory dates these at 12.7 billion years old. This, according to the theory, is much too soon after the Big Bang to have formed the heavy elements which are present. They just don't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do either, but I do know what they should do. They should give up the Big Bang Theory because it's wrong. It doesn't fit the evidence. There's got to be a better way. And there is such a way. It's found back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to VCY America on the Crosstalk Radio program, National Day of Prayer. We're going right now to the White House ceremony that occurred this morning, the Vice President followed by the President.
Well, good morning. And isn't it a glorious day here in the Rose Garden? To members of the Cabinet, leaders in faith and public life, to all our distinguished guests, it's an honor for Karen and me to be here with all of you as we mark this National Day of Prayer here at the White House. The Bible tells us to persevere in prayer, that the prayer of the upright pleases Him, and that in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we're to present our requests to God. And the American people do this every day. You know, the sweetest words the President and I ever hear are the words, "I'm praying for you." And we hear it a lot. But that's really nothing new. The American people believe in prayer, always have. Prayer is the cord that runs through every era of America's history. In 1775, the Second Continental Congress established a day of fasting and prayer. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln urged Americans to pray so that, in his words, the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessing. And in 1952, President Harry Truman and the Congress formally established this National Day of Prayer, a time set aside each year for the American people to turn to God in prayer and meditation. To celebrate this day, last year, President Trump gathered faith leaders across what he would call this nation of faith, including many of you here today. And in that moment, he took decisive action to ensure, in his words, that the federal government will never, ever penalize any person for their religious beliefs again. Today, President Trump will take another strong step to protect and promote Americans of faith, because in this White House, believers of every background have a champion in President Donald Trump. But in these two divided times, what we'll most importantly do today is to pause and to pray. In gatherings large and small all across this nation, Americans will bow the head and bend the knee and pray for this great country. And when we pray, we'll pray with confidence. Confidence in the great people of this nation. Confidence in our values. And confidence that just as He has always done through the long and storied history of this nation, He will once again hear from heaven and heal this land, this one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now I have the privilege to share a verse today, as many others will. You know, over the mantle of our home for nearly 20 years has been a Bible verse that speaks of a promise our little family has claimed and Americans have cherished through the generations. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." To Americans near and far, thank you for joining us in this National Day of Prayer. And God bless you all.
It's wonderful to be here on this glorious spring morning as we celebrate the National Day of Prayer at the White House in the Rose Garden. I want to thank Vice President Mike Pence and Karen for joining us. Very special people. Thank you very much. We are truly blessed to have a vice president and a second lady who believe in the power of prayer and the glory of God. And they do believe. I'm with them a lot. They believe. Great. Thank you, Mike. Faith has shaped our families, and it shaped our communities. It's inspired our commitment to charity and our defense of liberty. And faith has forged the identity and the destiny of this great nation that we all love. Americans of faith have built the hospitals that care for our sick, the homes that tend to our elderly, and the charities that house the orphaned. And they minister, and they really do. They minister to the poor, and so beautifully and with such love. We are proud of our religious heritage, and as president, I will always protect religious liberty. We've been doing it. We've been doing it. Last year on this day, I took executive action to prevent the Johnson Amendment, a disaster, from interfering with our First Amendment rights. I was so proud of that. I've been saying from the beginning, you know that. And I was saying for a long time, we're going to do that. Across the government, we have taken action to defend the religious conscience of doctors, nurses, teachers, students, and groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. In January of this year, I was proud to be the first president to stand here in the Rose Garden to address the March for Life. Very special day. And my administration has spoken out against religious persecution around the world, including the persecution of many, many Christians. What's going on is horrible. And we're taking action. We are taking action. We condemn all crimes against people of faith, and today we are launching another historic action to promote religious freedom. I will soon be signing an executive order to create a faith initiative at the White House. The faith initiative will help design new policies that recognize the vital role of faith in our families, our communities, and our great country. This office will also help ensure that faith-based organizations have equal access to government funding and the equal right to exercise their deeply held beliefs. We take this step because we know that in solving the many, many problems and our great challenges, faith is more powerful than government, and nothing is more powerful than God. With us today is a living reminder of this truth. His name is John Ponder from Las Vegas, Nevada. Where's John? Come on up here, John. Get up here, John. John grew up without his father. As he tells it, my mother was strong, but she wasn't able to keep us out of the gangs and off the streets, right? John was in and out of jail for years until at age 38, he was arrested for bank robbery. You don't look like a bank robber, John. It's come a long way. John soon ended up in federal prison, relegated to solitary confinement. That's where God found him. John began to read the Bible and listen to Christian radio, right? Incredible. One morning at 2 a.m., he woke up to the voice of the great Billy Graham. Reverend Graham's words came through the airwaves. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. That night, John dedicated his life to Christ. He spent the rest of his time in prison praying, studying the Bible, and bringing the Lord to his fellow inmates. The day after John's release, a visitor knocked on his door. It was the man who put him in jail, FBI Special Agent Richard Beasley. Who's here? Richard? Come on up, Richard. I want you to know that I've been praying for you very strongly. He said that. God called me to the FBI in part because of you, John. The two are now lifelong friends. John, do you like him?
I love him.
Oh, you love him. That's nice. That's beautiful. John runs a ministry that has helped more than 2,000 former inmates rejoin society, and he's the talk of the country. The job John does is incredible. John and Richard, you are a living testament to the power of prayer. Your story reminds us that prayer changes hearts and transforms lives. It uplifts the soul, inspires action, and unites us all as one nation under God. So important. And we say it here, you know? A lot of people, they don't say it. But you know what? They're starting to say it more, just like we're starting to say Merry Christmas when that day comes around. You notice the big difference between now and 2 or 3 years ago? It was, Paula, it was going in the other direction rapidly, right? Now it's straight up. Our country was founded on prayer. Our communities are sustained by prayer. And our nation will be renewed by hard work, a lot of intelligence, and prayer. Today we gather to remember this truth. We thank God for the faith of our people. We praise God for the blessings of freedom. And we ask God to forever bless this magnificent land that we all love so much, America. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
That was from the White House this morning here on National Day of Prayer. I'll have a few more comments here on this executive order that was signed by President Donald Trump this morning. The theme today of the program, it's time to pray. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and our theme today is on the National Day of Prayer, but it's time to pray. And again, as we shared in the first segment of the program, the calls that are often going forth to get prayer back in our schools and prayer in government, the question is, are we praying in our homes? Are we praying in our churches? This morning, we aired excerpts. This was not the entire event, and many different excerpts were edited out from this here today. I wanted you to hear these portions from the National Day of Prayer event at the White House. But I will make mention, and there are things that go on I wouldn't agree with there, but I wanted you to hear what happened here and the statements that were made by the President and Vice President. But the President this morning did sign an executive order then calling for the executive branch to ensure conscience protections, and it states a broader goal to preserve the religious liberty of persons and organizations in America. It was called it was an executive order entitled Establishment of a White House Faith and Opportunity Initiative, to provide recommendations on the administration's policy agenda affecting faith-based and community programs and other matters. But an excerpt says this: it shall be the policy of the executive branch to vigorously enforce federal law's robust protections for religious liberty. The founders envisioned a nation in which religious voices and views were integral to a vibrant public square, and in which religious people and institutions were free to practice their faith without fear of discrimination or retaliation by the federal government. Later, the order specifically directs the Treasury Department, which includes the IRS, not to target churches or religious groups for speaking out about political issues. That's signed at the White House this morning. The ministry Revive Our Hearts, its main speaker is Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgemuth. But on their site for Revive Our Hearts, they have a document called Pray for America that I wanted to share with you as well. This is filled with many, many scripture verses that we'll not have opportunity to refer to. We'll seek to post a link of this on our Crosstalk write-up later today. But it says, pray that God would turn people's hearts toward himself and that he will be glorified. Pray that God's people will demonstrate a spirit of repentance and prayer individually and corporately. Pray that God will raise up righteous leaders who will model integrity and authenticity. Pray that Americans will see their spiritual poverty, that our nation's citizens will awaken to their great spiritual need. Pray that godly men and women will be placed in positions of authority so that God's people can rejoice. Pray that our leaders will be just, fear God rather than men, and depart from evil. Pray that our leaders will listen to biblical counsel. Pray for truth in the media. Pray that people will be able to see truth, that error will be exposed, and that people with wicked agendas will be made weak. Pray that Christians will avoid negative fault-finding and contentiousness, but instead will stand out as God's loving, pure children. Pray that Christians will put their confidence in God rather than any political candidate. Pray that Christians will look to God to overcome the enemies of truth and righteousness. Pray that God will work through leaders to keep the doors open to his gospel to be proclaimed. And pray for God's will to be accomplished in our country. And gives the reminder then from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Praying for America. It's time to pray. I'd like to open our phone lines and get your thoughts on this issue here today on Crosstalk. And hear what you have to say, because this issue is one we often call upon governments and governmental bodies that they need to restore prayer, but are we doing it in our homes? Are we doing it in our churches? And I'm not for all putting together a big ecumenical soup pot of prayers to a deity that comes from that our people are all mixed up in that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking in our homes and in our churches. Are we praying? Are we coming before the throne of grace to the one true God? To the one true God, not the many. There is only one God. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Let me get your thoughts here today on this National Day of Prayer. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. We read earlier the obituary of prayer meeting, Mrs. Prayer Meeting. We've seen the challenges that have come forth from different teachers, such as Charles Stanley and the Revive Our Hearts Ministry regarding the matter of prayer. Prayer for our nation, prayer for our families, and being praying for one another. We look at all the ills that are going on in this life today, friends. We can fret, we can stew, we can write letters to the editor. But so often, our first resource becomes our last resort, the matter of prayer. Our phone number is 800-733-9829. Let's go to the phone lines. Dave in Kenosha, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your comments today. And I agree, you know, that there's an apathy and an indifference out there. But I would also like to say that there is a remnant of Christians that are still praying, not playing. And Ephesians 4, for endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. And James, that tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
So let's pray out there and... we love our nation. God bless.
Thank you, Dave, for your call. We've got Roy in Bayside. You're on the air.
Jim, you're one of my heroes, but regarding prayer, many students in public schools come from broken homes or never formed homes because of liberal welfare policies. So I favor prayer in school because in many homes, parents are too disorganized to even organize a family prayer night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not speaking against that. What I'm saying, Roy, though, is so many times we advocate, we need to have this in our schools, but when and I asked with the politician who asked that question, how many want prayer in the schools? Everybody raised their hand. How many of you are praying in your homes with your families? Not many hands went up. So I'm not condemning that we have prayers, you know, in schools or before city council meetings. It's a good thing. But I think we also need to look introspectively. Are we doing this in our home? Are we doing this in our church as well?
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you, Roy, for the call.
Sure.
We've got some lines open here, 800-733-9829. Your thoughts here on this National Day of Prayer, 800-733-9829. To Miami, Florida, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints today. God's blessed me with a radio where I pick up all over the world. And I was listening to Israel's news yesterday, and you'd be surprised how much the Bible is included in their news. And they said something that really got to me. The children from, like, what we call kindergarten to eighth grade, they learn the Old Testament. And then once they get in high school, they study, although they don't know Messiah like we know him, some of them. And some of them do, but they learn that scripture so they can relate to us Christians when we go over there. And the thing is, we, as Chris Saints, we should have prayer every day in our hearts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like one gentleman, he didn't understand when I said you should let your light shine. But when I go out, I have my CDs with nothing but the Word of God on them, and I have my MP3 player going with the service on it, and when I'm in line, I have that to give to people the Word of God, because we all have to live, for God once we're saved. We have to live for Him.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless all you saints, and have a wonderful day of prayer, but better than that, have your year of prayer. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. We have Robert calling next in Oregon. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, I was in high school when prayer was taken out of school, okay? And I used to pray with a couple of my teachers. In fact, we had a good time praying together, okay, because it helped me a lot. But I noticed a difference almost immediately when prayer was taken out of school. It turned to be really, really naughty all the way around, okay? I'm from the West Coast, okay, but still, I changed drastically, okay, and it's just progressively gotten worse and worse and worse. So prayer does work. No matter what anybody says, prayer does work.
Amen. It does. Thank you, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your call. Folks, we've got open phone lines. I find it interesting how strangely quiet lines are here today coming into our studios. Has the program, has it kind of perked our hearts just a little bit? Or do we want to shut it off and say, no, I don't want to listen to that, because there's that inward conviction that I'm not doing what we are expecting others to be doing in governmental bodies or in schools or whatever it might be. Your thoughts here on this National Day of Prayer. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Let's go to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm always glad to hear from Courtney. Courtney down in Florida, thanks for calling in, buddy. Always great to hear from you. It is when they took the prayer out of the schools, Jim, that was the beginning of where they're wanting this to go. They've indoctrinated our kids in the wrong way. They don't believe in the Word of God for the most part, okay? But I will tell you this. You can pray, but you just talk to God. He's our Father. He is our dad. Just talk to him normally, like you would me and you. You know, being all formal and stuff, that's great, but every time you talk to him, he'll listen. Every time. Whether you think he will or not, he's always going to listen.
Yeah. And we got to make sure we go with the right heart attitude, Al, in that, because Scripture does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we know there are hindrances to prayer being answered by God, but you're right. Prayer is just it's heart communication with God.
Yeah, just talk to him. He'll listen.
Thank you for the call. We're going to New Haven, Indiana. Hal, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jim, for taking my call. I just wanted to say that in 1951, when I was in kindergarten, we were taught the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and our, the other prayer. Can't think of it right now. I'm nervous.
The Lord's Prayer? Mm-hmm.
And we had to learn that clear up until third or fourth grade, and we were still saying the Pledge of Allegiance and everything else in the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the reason with all the killings and everything, the wars and everything, if people were brought up Christian, religious, it's still today we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call. Joe in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, just a couple of comments. One, I don't think I know of any Christian who says, I pray often enough or I pray enough. I think that's something that every one of us need to work on. Mm. I know personally I need to work on it. My prayer life could use some work. But the other comment I want to make is, excuse me, I've had the opportunity to pray with all kinds of different people, including people who would claim I'm spiritual but not religious, or I'm an atheist, or something like that, but people and to come and talk to me. I guess I'm a good listener. I'm not sure. But when I ask them, can I pray with you? Even if their comment is, well, I really don't believe in it, but go ahead if you want to. I've never had a person tell me, no, don't pray with me or don't pray for me. I've never had someone tell me, don't do that. Because I think that deep down they all know that prayer actually does work.
Yeah.
And I will absolutely testify to that over and over. Prayer does change things.
Amen. God bless you, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. God bless.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick 60-second break, and folks, stay online here. We'll get to your calls here momentarily right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's time to pray.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Today, the liberals, the progressives, the socialists are wanting people groups to war with each other. People like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama have tried to create class warfare as well as cultural warfare, or people groups waging war against one another. They've tried to say, look at the poor in America. This is a result of the injustice created by capitalism, when the exact opposite is true. A young black author by the name of Jason Riley has written a book called Please Stop Helping Us, subtitled How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed. He points out that their liberal progressive socialist policies do more harm, such as minimum wage laws, affirmative action, and other such liberal policies that he says destroys the opportunities for young black Americans. This author has it right. He's calling on the socialists and the progressives to please stop helping them.
is Crosstalk on VCY America. Going right back to the phone lines, we have Jeff calling in from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Do you know how long May 3rd has been National Prayer Day, or does it vary from year to year?
Well, it's the first Thursday of May, and that became official under the Reagan administration.
Okay, because it's right between May Day, which is for the communists, and then May 5th.
It has nothing to do with those things you're bringing up. It's the first Thursday of May.
But anyway, I don't see anything wrong with calling ourselves English America, because Latin America, they call themselves Latin America. And
Jeff, let's deal with the aspect of prayer here today.
Okay. Well, Alice Bailey of Theosophy, she talks about kind of like a group prayer, but they call it dispelling glamour. And she says you can't expect to see results of group prayer, congregational prayer, on the plane of worldly existence.
Well,
you agree with that? Or?
No, I don't agree with that. That is not a biblical principle at all. Matter of fact, we see corporate prayer throughout Scripture itself. Thank you for the call. Matt in Midway, Florida, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Matt. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim. This is really an appropriate topic, especially for our country during this time. It's amazing. I'm glad Mr. Trump brought it all up, you know, as far as bringing back prayer into schools. I can remember a time in 1965 when we used to walk across the street to a church one day a week, and then all of a sudden, like the next year, it stopped. And it was an exciting time for me because I grew up in a dysfunctional family. But with prayer coming back now and being open for everyone, and even in the pulpit, it's just exciting to hear, because no one will have to face any, you know, loss of their tax exemption or anything else as such. And we do live in a time where we need to have people speak up more and pray more often. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you for the call. I don't know of any church that came under threat for losing tax exemption for praying, but I do know that there's a man from Scripture in which there was a decree made from the king saying that you should not ask a petition of any god but of him, King Darius. However, Daniel went back to his room and did as he did aforetime, and three times a day prayed to the God of heaven, gave that example there. And yes, he suffered punishment by being thrown into the den of lions. We certainly know the account from Daniel, how God sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. But even if he had not, Daniel was found faithful, doing what God called him to do. Debbie in Crestview, Florida, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My family prays every night. I will often ask people if they contact me by phone, is there something going on that I could pray for you about. I also, when I get the calls from sales people on the phone, mm-hmm. when they say, do you have any questions, I'll ask them. I've had people cry. I've had people say, oh, I'm fine, and get off the line real quick. But I've had a lot of people share some personal things. One of the last ones was a lady dealing with her Alzheimer's mother. It was just thrilled that somebody would pray. Hmm. They want prayers. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Hmm. And we don't make use of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Steve in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Jim, I prayed just before I called one in to make sure my heart's in the right place. And I'm going to tell you something, Jim, the power of prayer. I'll confess to you and everybody online, you're talking to a former adulterer, a fornicator, someone who drank, was destined for hell. And through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the power of prayer, it saved my life. So, yeah, the power of prayer is very, very powerful. And this is not easy to say, Jim, to admit this about myself, but that's the truth.
Amen. We've got a God who changes lives, Steve, and I praise him that yours and mine are such lives, and that God is certainly able to do that exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Stefan in Grand Rapids, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Jim. I just like to make a comment or two on our... Yeah, Jim...
Stefan, don't listen to your radio. Listen right here through your phone.
Okay. I'm reminded of Paul in and Timothy, when Timothy was saved, and he said, my continual prayer for you is that you would be filled with all wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding of God's will, and that prayers that we make are nourishment for our soul. And it's just a blessing and an honor to be able to sit down and talk to our God.
Amen.
He said, come, let us reason together. Sit down and reason together and make your requests known. So when you go out and you do things, your desire and your heart is stirred and your eyes are open as God leads and how he provides to people through you and through his leading through you.
Amen.
To other people. And they, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance.
Yeah.
And that's that goodness that he manifests in us as we seek his will. And then the other thing I'd like to comment is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of the principalities, powers, and men in spiritual wickedness. And I think as the church body, we need to pray that God would release those weapons or teach us those weapons or show us those weapons. Because he said, I sent my word to him.
Yeah. Thank you. And we're losing connection there, Stefan. Thank you for your call. Cheryl in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes. I want to thank you for having your program. It's a very good program. I try to listen to it when I can. So don't feel bad. A lot of people are at work and they can't listen. But I watched the president this morning, and I'm just so thankful that we have a president that will honor this day of prayer. I believe it came from Dr. Dobson's wife started it. But anyway, anytime we can mention prayer and for our country, it's very important. I'm from California, and I was not raised around prayer. And I would like to tell you that I got saved and became a Christian from a gospel tract here in Pensacola, Florida.
Amen.
It's given to one of my relatives.
Amen.
And I found that tract and got saved. So prayer is so important, and that what a privilege we have to talk to the Lord.
In prayer, absolutely. Cheryl, I apologize. I'm out of time here on the program. That final theme music is playing. But thank you for your call today and to each of you who participated in the program. But I trust it's the challenge for this day, and it's not relegated to a single day, folks. We need to be praying without ceasing. Indeed, it's time to pray.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.